Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. We are delighted to spend this time with you today. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we're excited to have Kelly Mantone joining us. She has authored a great book entitled Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Needs Parent. She has a beautiful website. Go out to it. It's called acceptingthegift.org. And we're excited to have Kelly with us today.
That's great.
Now, also today is the 23rd anniversary of the attacks on September 11th. We remember the death of 2,977 victims from the attacks between the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and the United Airlines Flight 93 crash in the field of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And we as a nation, where we mourn, we grieve, that was a terrible day that we were attacked. I can remember I was upstairs and I watched the first plane hit. Gabby was our grandchild. She was downstairs. I went to go get her out of her crib. And I said this, Gabby, I don't know what kind of world I'm bringing you upstairs into. And when we got upstairs, I was looking at the TV and the second plane hit. And it was a day that changed all of us, and especially all the victims, the people who suffered and died, all the families affected, and the evil of that attack.
And how many people have passed away since?
Yes.
You know, from ramifications of being there. Thank God, a terrible day. No one could ever doubt that there is evil, but no one can doubt as well that there's great courage, those first responders and firemen, other people trying to, police officers, chaplains, people risking their lives, people who lost their lives trying to help other people. And so that God can take evils and turn it into good. God can take what seems to be a curse and turn it into a blessing. God could take death and somehow turn it into life. So we're trying to stand under you, all those who've lost loved ones. This is a day of remembering that we would never forget. We just pray that somehow, some way, you would sense a community all around you, and that while we can't understand in totality, we're sharing together in this as human beings who are trying to extend mercy to those who actually walk through this time. May God have mercy upon the United States of America, and may God bring the awakening to the United States of America and the renewal to the church that is so needed at this time.
Yes.
May He make wars to cease and people find peace through Jesus Christ and the way of His cross. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we are delighted to have Kelly Mantone joining us. Now, she has authored a great book because a life that she lived. And this book is entitled Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as Special Needs Parents. She has a beautiful website. Go out to it. It's called acceptingthegift.org. Well, Kelly, we are delighted to have you today. And your book, Better Than Okay, was truly inspiring. But we want you first to tell our family a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get into the meat of that beautiful book and your life so well lived out loud, right?
Yeah, well, I'm so happy to be here. So, you know, married to my husband, high school sweethearts. We're coming up on 23 years. We have five beautiful children. But our youngest two do have a degenerative neuromuscular disease known as spinal muscular atrophy. So if you're not familiar with it, it basically creates all over muscle weakness. So they require people to do pretty much everything for them, getting dressed, helping them with feeding, everything. And they use power wheelchairs for mobility. So, you know, they need a lot of help physically, mentally. They are just like any other 13 and 16 year old boys you're gonna meet. So they love their video games, their Marvel movies, all that kind of stuff. Right. Basically becoming their mom, it changed me, it changed our marriage. And as I started sharing my story online, I had one of those early Catholic mommy blogs, and I started putting more out there. Parents started reaching out to me, often right after they got their own diagnosis for their children. And I just thought, like, why are you reaching out to me? I'm a Catholic mommy blogger. And it was because they didn't see any other children or families like them in their parishes or in their community. So they were reaching out to me, the only other person they knew who had these seriously disabled children. And I realized I was telling the same stories, giving the same advice over and over again. And so I thought, well, maybe I should put it in a book. So that's what I did. I put the book out there. And then I realized that the book kind of wasn't enough. And from the need that I continued to see out there, I created then the ministry Accepting the Gift, which then helps parents. So it's, you know, I never wanted to make this my focus, but it's where God has led me. I just saw that's where the need was in the church. And so, you know, sharing my story, putting that out there helps people, then, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, you share so beautifully in your book, and, you know, you're so authentic, you're so real, so vulnerable in in what you went through as a woman, as a mother, as a wife. And so when you got the diagnosis and you talk about the grief process that you go through, tell our family about the grief process and the ideals of your life, as we all have, and the illusions of our life, and then what happens when reality hits in.
And why is it a grief process? Nobody passed away.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When I got this diagnosis and went through this, you know, I had all these feelings, and, you know, I thought, you know, you don't realize it's grief, because again, yeah, it's not like my son had died, but what had died was all those ideals. You know, our three older children are all typically developing, and you see them hit all these milestones. And when we were given the diagnosis for our son, who's now 16, the life expectancy at that point that they handed me was that he might be dead by three. And so then all those milestones, you know, this son, well, was he gonna make his first Holy Communion? Was he gonna serve on the altar? Was he gonna do all that? You lose all of that and that life that you envisioned. And of course, he's not gonna walk. So all the things that you think, oh, sports and just all those dreams you have, that's where that grieving process comes in. And I think that catches a lot of people going through this. It catches them really off guard. So with the book, I just kind of walk people through. And for me, it was a lot of more seeing it in hindsight. And now I wish my book was there, you know, when I was going through it, but now it's out there for other people. So as they go through these stages, like for me, I was so angry for so long. And, you know, at tough times, I would revert back to that anger. And I was like, what's wrong with me? But then when you study the stages of grief, you realize, well, that's very typical. So it's basically giving parents that permission to feel those stages of grief. I always say in my talks, it's like you're on a train and you're working towards the station, like acceptance. That's the end goal. You need to make all those stops at those stages of grief. You can't just zip right up to acceptance. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, have problems down the road. So you get off at each stage of grief and you go through it. You allow yourself to feel those things, but you don't stay there.
Right.
You don't stay at anger. You don't stay at depression. You get back on that train and you keep going towards acceptance. That's the goal. And, you know, that's what I eventually did. And so that's really the biggest part of the book, was just to help people, give them permission to feel those things, even though their child is still alive.
And so you go through, and you might want to mention again, as you can, some of the stages or all of the stages, and you really weren't even, you're looking in hindsight.
Right.
So there's a number of people that just got this diagnosis for their child or another diagnosis. And suddenly there's special need parents with special need children. So share those stages again, because you write so well in your book about these stages and finally recognizing what you're going through. And you talk about acceptance of those stages and not getting stuck. But I would think some people do get stuck.
Right.
If they don't accept, you might not be able to accept too soon, you know, you don't want to do that. You got to go through the sadness, you got to go through the,
right.
But share those stages and some of the things that you confronted in them. There might be people just listening out here that are saying, she's speaking
to my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it all starts with shock, which I think nobody skips over shock, mm-hmm. and you recognize shock. For me, there's parts of time immediately following the diagnosis of my son, who's now 16, and then my youngest son, who's now 13, that I really just don't remember. And I think it's just shock. It was just shock, and I've just kind of blacked them out. Mm-hmm. So everybody goes through that. Because again, for us, we had three typically developing children. SMA is genetic, so we had no idea. Mm-hmm. So it was learning that, you know, our son had this debilitating condition that wasn't even on our radar. So you go through that sort of shock, and then you move also into denial. And that's just, that manifests so many different ways. And it was hard because our different family members were also going through it. Like, I remember my father, when I told him the results of the genetic test, he's like, well, they should do it again. They should do it again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the same way, like, well, this can't be right. We got to do this again. Well, this, and then when our second son was diagnosed with it, it was like, well, that can't be right. How can we have two children with this? What are mm-hmm. what's the likelihood after having three typical kids? Now we're going to have two with this?
Yeah. You get angry about that.
You can. Yeah. And you, you know, I read that part about your dad. And, you know, and you think that where we have grown children, married children, I think, how would I respond if that was I was going through that? Well, because he doesn't want that for you.
Yes.
And
yep.
he doesn't want that for his grandson,
correct.
Right? So
yeah.
here's Fulton, and he's like, this isn't happening.
Yep.
This isn't happening to my daughter.
Right.
And you know, you were kind to him, but
yeah.
you were like, no, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, we are lucky. We live close to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. so we go to Children's Hospital
yes.
Philadelphia, which is the best of the best. And so when Children's Hospital tells you, this is what it is, this mm-hmm. is the outcomes, these are the treatment options, which when they were diagnosed was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You sit up and take notice. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of denial. And, you know, again, you're also kind of trying to deal with the feelings of everyone around you as well. But as I say in the book, you got to focus on yourself. And that even goes for your spouse. I've met a lot of spouses who go through it, the stages at different, mm-hmm. a different pace.
Yeah.
So if you're a spouse and you're moving through something and your spouse is maybe staying off at that station a little too long, you can't stay with them. You got to kind of keep going for yourself, and then hopefully they're going to come along with you. So it is important to really be mindful of your own feelings and take care of yourself as you work through these. The other one was bargaining. I personally didn't do too much with bargaining, but that's where my husband really was. And I write about in the book, you know, Fulton, he's named after Fulton Sheen. We love him. And at the time, he was still in the cathedral in New York. So we're like, we're going to go up. We're going to go to the tomb. We're taking the parish. We're going to go to this tomb. We're going to do this. And I think my husband was like, this is it. This is going to do it. This is going to be the miracle. And we didn't get the miracle,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like kind of bargaining. It's like, well, God, if we do this big thing, you're going to cure our son. You're going to mm-hmm. do this. But that's not how God works.
Right.
God had a bigger picture for us, and we see that now, but at the time we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of parents will continue to do that, especially, you know, if you're in the faith, we have so many wonderful devotionals. We have pilgrimages. We have so much you can do. It's very easy as Catholics to fall into that, like, well, I'll say this prayer, this novena, we'll do this, we'll do that.
This formula is going to get
it. Yes, and that's wonderful. Those mm-hmm. things, you do get so many graces from them. I know we got so many graces from that pilgrimage. But it might not be answered, your prayers, the way that you think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean God didn't hear you. It just means he's got a different plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But bargaining, you know, also, like I said, anger. Anger is just huge for me because, you know, so many people, especially, they want to say the right thing. They want to support you and your family. You know, everybody was so devastated for us. They wanted to help us say things. And it was never the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you get angry with other people, but then you also might be angry with God. God, why'd you do this to us? Mm-hmm. Why did you give us this child? Why did you give our child this? Why did you sign our child up for, at that point, what we thought would be a lifetime of suffering? So you have to wrestle with those feelings as well. And then also depression.
Mm-hmm.
And depression is really, it was almost debilitating for me. And I know that's where so many mm-hmm. parents really get hung up. Is in depression, and you just you can't give into depression, because then you're going to slide into despair, and you know that's not where we want to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's coming, it's making that choice then to step out of depression into acceptance and really, you know, get through that grieving process. It takes work, and it really takes a conscious decision to get through all that. And that's the hard thing. It is work. So many parents do get stuck at different stages because it's so easy to stay there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to encourage people in the book to really keep going, do the work, and get through them, because once you're on the other side,
there's life to live.
There is. And it's not like things aren't still going to be hard.
Right.
But, you know, as I said, what difficulty and joy, they can coexist, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. so.
Well, you do a wonderful job at those stages and saying what each stage is in and of itself, how you've experienced them. And then you speak about how to manage mm-hmm. that. And you give all these different recommendations. Then at the end of each chapter, you have the keys mm-hmm. of what's going on here, you know, what you could do, the needs that you have, recognizing those things. And yeah, I don't know how to articulate what you do, but you really get to the place of acceptance. You know, you're gonna be going through this anyway. You might get stuck at a stage, you might as well accept the realities, you know, and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. So just what is the truth? What is my life in this reality? And how do I see this? So we're gonna take a break at this point. We're gonna hold you over for the final segment. The book is More Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Need Parent. We pray that you're being ministered to. Maybe you're a grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, and now you're in this situation with a grandson, with a child who's a special needs child, and it can become better than okay. Your life, your family life, many blessings in it. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're having a wonderful conversation with Kelly Mantone. Now, Kelly, the title of the book is Better Than Okay. You have two sons with severe disabilities. They're 16 and 13. You are living to tell it. So tell our family why Better Than Okay.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, I was responding to a lot of different parents as they would reach out to me. And a lot of them, it's, you know, I was trying to reassure them. The idea is like, things are gonna be okay. Things are gonna be okay. But what I realized was I wanted to tell them, life is gonna be better than okay. It's not just you're gonna like get through with gritted teeth, you know, clenching with your nails, you know, trying to make the best of this terrible situation. Your life is gonna be great. It's gonna be better than okay. I think we tend to think how our lives should look. Again, we have these milestones we assume our children should meet, and they need to meet those milestones to really have a happy life, but that's not how it has to be. So my life looks completely different than how I thought it would, but it's still a life of joy. Mm-hmm. You know, and when my sons were diagnosed, I thought, well, you know, they have this terrible disease. How can they ever have a happy life? How can they ever be happy? How can we be happy as a family? How can, you know, I was so upset because things were gonna be so different. Mm-hmm. But I was so wrong, because life is so joyful. And when I realized how joyful they were, you know, then I could be joyful. And then that's part of like really the acceptance and moving forward and living that life that's better than okay. And that's really just the whole point of the book too, is it's not only telling people you're gonna get through this, but like, it's gonna be great. Mm-hmm. Life is gonna be wonderful, so yeah.
Well, you know, I know that your Catholic faith, I'm sure, was your foundation, because what you did was you made it better than okay. You made your new normal joy-filled.
Yes.
That's a decision you have to make.
Yeah, it's a decision, and as I go through the book, I talk about all the different kind of scenarios that arise and things that we have to tweak how I would deal with them. Again, like in the book, I'm a very strong type A. I wanna be in control of everything. And when you have a child with disability, special needs, you can't really do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned, they say, oh, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. You know, he gives you a lot, but he gives you a community and people to support you through it. And so I had to learn humility. Mm-hmm. And I talk about embracing the virtue of humility, because that's really what, you know, helped me learn to ask for help, right, and accept help from people. And I had to learn perseverance and fortitude to get through some of these tough times that were really testing my faith as well. So when I leaned on these virtues that the church teaches me about, then I was able to come through these difficult situations. You know, how to not worry, how to trust in God and have faith that things would turn out all right, and how to really regain hope again. Because I think when you get a diagnosis like this, you kind of lose hope for the future, because it's a scary uncertainty. You know it's going to be different than what you expect. And that's frightening. But when you trust in God and you realize that even without understanding, you know, life's going to be okay. So I just put that trust in God, and I had faith that He was going to bring good from anything. And so then, you know, now I can see how He's, you know, we have, like I said, we have a wonderful family, my sons, all my kids, we have a great life. You know, I can't complain, even though it looks completely different. You know, we go out in public, I always say, we get so many stares. It's one thing, you go out with a lot of kids.
Right, right.
You go out with five kids and two are in a power wheelchair.
Right.
People are going to stare.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to think we make it look good. Like, you know, we make this parenting thing look real good.
You know, and Kelly, the deal is like with the diagnosis, and we think because Jesus alone has the long view. We think at the moment, this is the end of the story. All my dreams and my hopes and my desires. And God's like, yep, all of yours. That's not my plan. Yep. So, you know, then it's that total shift of lining ourselves up with God's plan, because God sees the long view of you thriving in this situation.
Well, we're going to take the long view, because we're going to have you tomorrow again.
Yes.
Thank God, but our time is out now. Thank you for the gift of this book.
Thank you.
And thank you for your organization, acceptingthegift.org. We'll hear more about that tomorrow.
Great.
Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Needs Parent. Pray that you're being blessed. Pray that you're regaining hope, and that you have a resource like this to help you along the way, to be a community to you. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.